Just to let you guys know, Hanzo Gracie loves the jiu-jitsu kicks. Extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your force.
Pedro.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. We are once again in Virginia Beach at Gustavo Machado's Academy. Gustavo, thank you for having us. And we just got done with another great seminar with another great guard player, Tingia. Tingia, thank you for the wonderful seminar here and coming to Virginia and showing us some good stuff.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And then, as always, I have, we have Brian Engel with us.
Hey, guys.
We're missing E.T.
Brian's always around, too. I always see him around.
Always around taking pictures and actually talking now.
Yeah, we're going to let him talk. We might fire E.T. after this. We'll see how Brian does. We'll see. So, Tingia, again, thank you very much. And let's just start off with, you're saying some great stuff during the seminar. I want to hit again, but let's start off. You started jiu-jitsu at a young age. So tell us about how you got into jiu-jitsu, when you started, and where.
So I started back in Brazil, and I was probably like 10, 11 years old. But before I trained jiu-jitsu, I trained judo.
Oh, okay.
So, I started probably with 7 years old, judo, mm-hmm. and then I did a transition to jiu-jitsu. What happened, my brother started training at the Gracie Academy, and back mm-hmm. the time, I didn't know what's the Gracie jiu-jitsu. I just liked to train judo, and judo was very popular in Brazil, it's still very popular in Brazil. You have judo in high school, stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just like a wrestling here, that's judo, but judo over there. So, then my brother started training at the Gracie school. It was one block from my house. And he started talking about how nice it was. And I didn't know what it was. And then when I went to check the class, I just saw it was just like judo, but they still have the ground game. And slowly, all my friends started training, Gordinho back at the time, Gordo's brother. And slowly I did a transition to I stopped training judo and started training jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
That was my beginning.
Yeah. And was it Gracie Barra or
no,
Baja Gracie?
Back at the time, it was the Gracie Barra is still not like this. It was Gracie Academy. In the house. And that was all the Machados. But I didn't start training there. What happens, I was a friend with Draculino, Ryan Gracie.
Okay.
So the only guys training the Gracie Academy back at the time was Gordo's brother, Ryan Gracie, and all my friends used to train at another school called Pitoco. Uh-huh. And today it was well known as in Fight Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm. So I started training at that school. That was across the street of my house. Uh-huh. And there was all my friends that trained over there. And as the time passed, some of the guys did a transition to the Gracie. And during that period of time, the Gracie Academy, some of the Gracie left to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And the Gracie Barra kind of like it was created from Paul's Grace pass away,
right.
All the stuff for the Grace Bar. Starts so when the time I start training was already Grace Bar, then I moved to the Grace Bar.
I see.
But the beginning when I started, it didn't have Grace Bar.
And when did you leave Brazil for America?
That was in 2000.
2000. What belt were you at that time?
Black belt.
So you came to America as a
I got my black belt in '96.
Okay.
Where are you located currently?
I'm in California, in Orange County, Yorba Linda.
Okay. Southern California is really, that's kind of where jiu-jitsu is at in America right now. We've got it on the East Coast, but it's super popular there. What was the scene like when you showed up? Was it as popular, or was it kind of sparse?
No, it wasn't that popular, but it's still, I remember when I got there in 2000, the schools come to my mind now was Gracie Academy, mm-hmm. Joe Moreira, then you go Rickson Gracie, mm-hmm. Then you go back to San Diego, you have Rodrigo Medeiros, so you have some main schools, Fabio Santos. But it was not a lot of schools, but it was some schools, but well, the distance was, we have one school in Orange County, one school in San Diego, and then now it's just in mind, like when I left in Brazil, it's just in mind like Rio now. You have a school everywhere.
Every corner.
Every corner.
School. Okay.
backing up a little bit, and you're talking about this during the seminar. How did you? You're known for the spotter guard, of course. Uh-huh. How did that come about? How did you develop that or start using that?
Yeah, like I said at the seminar, you know what happened. I started training at a young age, but I never had the chance with the class I started training. They didn't have a kid class, they have an adult class. Mm-hmm. So I always trained with people stronger than me, older than me. So I started training at 11 years old. So my training partner was 18, 19, 17 years old, 20, 30.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh, yeah.
So what happened is, I also, when it comes to time to training, I always, you know, if I have to choose, I would try to be on top. But the truth is, it didn't happen. I always be on my back on the mat, and I couldn't train in close guard. I tried to train close guard, but it came open. I was very skinny. Mm-hmm. And if I show you the pictures, you're not going to believe how skinny I was. So they came open my guard with just like, you know.
Breathing.
Yeah, just breathing. My guard would be open. So when the guard would get open, they get close to me, they smash, and that was it. You know. So I have to, kind of like in a natural, in a survival way, so I use my legs to keep the people away from me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started. Be aware of the spider guard, right? So the spider guard like came to pretty much save my life on the day of training, and then I started developing a lot of position from there and play. You know, that's how my history with the spider guard started.
Yeah,
in a survival way. You know?
Yeah. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but in addition to your school in California, you also do some training at the UFC gym out there.
Yes, I'm the head instructor of the UFC gyms. So the UFC gym, it's a gym, just like with the same setup, the 24-hour gym, mm-hmm. but they have the martial arts, right? Uh-huh. So I'm responsible for to take care of the BJJ program, you know, to hire the instructors, to organize the belt promotion, so pretty much to control the quality of the BJJ and all the UFC gyms.
All the UFC gyms.
All the UFC gyms.
How many are there?
They have five now. They have the first one in Concord in North California. Mm-hmm. Second one is in Los Angeles, Rosemead. Third one in Corona, South California. Mm-hmm. Then they have one more in South California, Torrance. And then they have one, the last one is in Hawaii. BJ Penn. It's, the gym is called UFC Gym BJ Penn.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense. And and guys are going there, normal classes, or just normal jiu-jitsu?
No, that's the thing, though, is the gym, that's the our goal, you know, because the gym is huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our goal is to create the same environment they have in a BJJ school. Like when they step in to the mat, they're going to have the same class, the same respect, they're going to find the same way to the class as a normal BJJ school, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the reason we have some create some rules, make sure you have the real black belt sitting there and the same belt system, same stuff. You know? It's a challenge,
yeah.
The place is healed, you know, but so far we're doing well.
Good. I wondered that because I've seen some jiu-jitsu schools in other gyms. It never seems like it works out for various reasons. But of course, I mean, a UFC gym isn't a jiu-jitsu academy at a Gold's gym.
Yeah, but I agree exactly that happened. When you see an MMA school, they offer everything, you know, so it's kind of get confused. They have the Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu, all this stuff. But that's what we try to have, you know, we have meetings with all the BJJ instructors. You have some rules, you have mm-hmm. some class curriculum they have to follow, so to make sure everybody's on the same page. You know, and have the always in communication to make sure that it doesn't happen, that they're kind of confused, you know.
Yeah, and you set the curriculum somewhat for them too?
Yes, you have the, over there you have level one, supposed to be the beginners, you have level two, supposed to be intermediate class, you know.
Okay.
So all the instructors are supposed to follow the same class curriculum, same day, so it's kind of like, that's the way you kind of keep the quality. And keep the pass the same message to the student.
Mm-hmm. It's easier for the instructor too, you know. Whoever is teaching is following the curriculum. Much easier.
That's nice. That's really mm-hmm. nice. Interesting.
With you being the head of the UFC gyms and your own schools as well, you know, jiu-jitsu is blowing up these days. Everybody's, you know, getting into it, mostly because of MMA probably, but also just because the sport itself is getting better. We saw a couple of blue, purple, and brown belt promotions here today. Someone comes to you, never trained before. What do you tell them that they need to succeed physically and mentally in jiu-jitsu?
So it's, you know, like the jiu-jitsu, it's going two ways. You know? You're going to like or you're not going to like.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So when you like, man, you're going to stay for, you know, if you have a a good instructor, if you train in the right environment, you're going to stay for life.
Mm-hmm.
As I like to say, the BJJ for life.
Mm-hmm.
But what I say now is the main thing is consistent, right?
Exactly.
You got to be on the mat to learn the martial arts. Mm-hmm. You have to be patient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I think, that's so important, the place you train, the instructor you have, because he's going to help you to understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many stuff, you know, the respect to the martial arts, respect to your partners, mm-hmm. but to not worry about to get tapped, no ego, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna, but I think that's what our job, the instructor job, to show that to the student, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helped a lot to the student understand the journey of our martial art, you know.
Another question I had, and jumping around a little bit, but was about your website. You have some online training
yes.
options there, which I was looking at the other day. Can you explain those and talk about what those are? And
yeah, so the online training I have, the TVD.tv,
mm-hmm.
is the idea was I always have my DVDs, right?
Yeah.
And my DVDs, I have the Spider Guard, the City Jumping Guard, all the DVDs was created in a specific game, right? But the DVDs, it's just really a part of the game. So the website, you can go deeper on that. You can have everything there. You know, I have beginners stuff, you know, the best thing for the beginners learn. I have Spider Guard. You can get all the information, pretty much everything, you know, I learned from through my life, teaching, fighting, and training. It's, you know, takes time, but I put everything there. And then not just a specific, one thing specific, you know. So it takes like all the information I have. And of course, it's good for my students. It's good for people who want to learn the way I teach.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good too, so I can kind of like have my own stuff on film, you know, save my information there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Recorder, yeah.
And is that a monthly fee that you pay into that?
You can pay a year fee or a monthly fee.
Okay.
There's no contract, you know, if you want to pay 1 month to get out. There's I think... Now you have a 15 days trial for free.
Okay.
So they can try to go. But, you know, it's nice. You know?
Yeah. And is it the same stuff you're teaching at your academy? Do you do it that way? The curriculum?
No, it's not. Yeah. It's all the information on, like, all the curriculum class I have for my beginners, for the advanced. Plus, I have this, a lot of stuff in the Spider Guard. You know, it's not just the techniques, but I have ways, you know, if you're a beginner, this will be the best way for you start on those techniques, on those positions here, you know, if you're intermediate. So I have, it's not a website you're going to go and just find techniques, you know. You can do that too.
Yeah.
You can go shopping around yourself. I want to see the spider guy. But you have some stuff, you give some direction to, you know, for the student. I think it's very important.
I see. And you have some videos either on there, maybe it was on YouTube. I think I saw a while back you had some guys doing some outside the academy workouts. Is that on your paid site, or is that just something that's out there?
Outside of workouts?
Yeah, strength and conditioning.
Strength and conditioning.
Oh, okay, that's on the website. Yeah, because on the online training, you not just have the technique, you have some stuff, the condition you're doing for the BJJ, you have some training or tournaments, as interviews, a Gustavo interview, and Gustavo teaches the techniques, some instructors, you know, go to my school, so they show you some stuff. So it's not just my techniques. Not just, you know, some like
some old fights.
Old fights. I had some matches as a blue belt. Mm-hmm. Gustavo fights a blue belt over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a bunch of stuff. Pretty much the history I have, what I have saved on my life, all my life, I stopped putting over there, you know.
Okay. Do you have the fight where you two fought each other?
I wish I had that.
That was actually Jacques Saquin.
Yeah,
Jacques Saquin.
What do you suggest for guys because you're talking about the strength and conditioning that's done outside the academy, some supplemental training. What do you suggest guys do to supplement their jiu-jitsu training to stay in shape?
Yeah, you know, I think today, you know, jiu-jitsu, it's, you know, you have the world championship, Pan American. It's in a level, real high level, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination. If you want to talk about tournament now, you know, if you want to fight a tournament and be on the top level, not just about the training, it's a combination. You know? It's about your training, you know, how you train, who you train, your training partners, your condition training, your mental training too, you know. So it's a combination of a lot of stuff, you know. So.
Yeah.
You gotta have a condition training for sure outside of the gym or your school.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a training, it's not just training hard, but training smart, right? You need to have some experience in tournament fight. Not Gustavo said here today, the promotion, not just going to, a lot of people, they want to fight the world championship and the American championship, but they don't fight the smaller tournaments, you know, like
in-house
tournament stuff. That's going to get ready for the tournaments.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, I think the key is a combination of a lot of stuff. You got to be professional the way you train, you know, not if you just come to the school and train with your partner and just roll around, it's not going to help. You know, you got to train as a tournament style. Works. That's the thing, you know, if you have a good instructor to help with that, it's going to help a lot, you know. But you got to be smart the way you train, you know, because today is the level is real high, you know. It's not in our time, you know, we do most of our conditional training inside the gym. Now, you know, I think totally different. You got to do your conditional training outside. When you come to the gym, you spend the time in the rolling time in training. So just for jiu-jitsu, then you go outside to do your condition and that kind of stuff. You know?
It amazes me, not even the black belts, but like purple belts and stuff that they train full time. Like, I guess, you know, maybe they're sponsored or something, but like they're, you know, 20, 22 years old, and that's their job, is they train 3 times a day. They're just trying to get in shape, and that's all they do. But like, it's like a professional athlete.
Yeah. That's the way it is for your place in the world, upon America. It has to be that way, otherwise, you're not going to make. You know, can do well on the first fight, second, as you're getting tired, as you, you know, you have to be, you know, totally dedicated to the tournament. That's the way it is now.
You think that's a good thing? Like, was it Hodger that said a while ago, you know, you could be a world champion back in the day and not be necessarily like a world-class athlete?
Yes.
But now it seems like you got to be up there in athletics, and you got to have on-point technique. You think that's good? It's bettering the sport? Being such high-caliber athletes,
I think it's good because, you know, it's pushing to the next level. You know what I mean? Like Roger said, I totally agree. You know, you see a bunch of BJJ guys. That's one of the reasons they have so much problem transition to the MMA, because they, you know, we just come to the school training, you know, take your time doing your stuff. You know, but now, you know, with the time, you have to be strong. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, the power that wasn't that much problem back the time. You know, today you have to be strong, you have to be fast, you have to be sharp in the technique, you know, you have to have everything together, you know. And then when they transition from another MMA stuff, they're going to be way prepared to, you know, if they're going to go to MMA, it's going to be an easy transition, I believe, you know, to back the time, you know, it's totally different. You know, you're going from one way to training to totally different, you know. A lot of people didn't make it, you know. Now it's happened that way,
though.
True. Yeah. When speaking of tournaments and training for that one big tournament, that's a question for both of you. This Sunday is the Metamoris.
Yes.
Oh yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, Metamoris Pro. What do you guys think about these the super fights happening?
I think it's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I think it's.
I like
Jack fighting and.
The card's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a joke when it first came out.
It's
I was like,
really
this
cool.
isn't real.
Really cool.
But that, we have that kind of stuff in Brazil, too, you know. What I don't like is if you have a tournament, the whole one, that format, you know, with no time limit, all this stuff, you know. You don't want to go to a tournament and have a bunch of white belts, blue belts, purple belts fighting in the rules,
no time limit,
all this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense. You get the top guys, you know, you just finish the world championship and then see, all right, they're going to get first place, this guy got first place, but they have a tie fight, you know, like 2 points, you know, let's see who is the best.
Yeah.
Then you put those guys there for 30 minutes, go. You kind of have that kind of stuff in Brazil back the time, and exactly that with the same format. You only have maybe 8, 9, 10 fights, and you get those guys top, and then, you know, there's no question about after a fight of 30 minutes to see who really the best, you know, because, you know, 10 minutes or 8 minutes fight, and one advantage here, the control points. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know,
yeah, you
that was close,
time,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that kind of tournament, I love it, you know, I like it, but it has to be that format, you know, not too many fights, just the top guys, you know, I love it.
Six, seven matches tomorrow?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. 20 minutes maximum each, so.
Well, do you think that it seems like if you look at the lineup of that card, you know, it's a Gracie versus a really good tournament fighter. You know, Krohn has, you know, a good tournament fighter. Andre Galvao versus Gracie. Do you think that the traditional tournament fighter, the point fighter, Galvao specifically, will have trouble in a tournament like that? Or do you think it'll transition, he'll have an easy transition over the 20-minute sub only
I don't think talk about Justin Gervon or the top fighters.
Yeah, the top fighters. You know, when some
of the guys are gonna have problem.
Yeah,
because this is what I believe. You know, it's the fighters are made by rules, right? If you say the rules, you know, you gotta need to have one advantage to get the first place. They're gonna fight by the rules. If you have submission, all those top guys in the world championship now, they're gonna train.
For submission only.
Submission only. They're going to get real good at that. So it's just the problem is the rules that make the fighter, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if some guys are doing this for many years, they just worry about to get one position, hold here, hold there, then transition. If I say, oh, tomorrow you're going to fight in a different tournament, 30 minutes one or 1 hour tournament, you know, then they're going to have a problem. But if they know about the rules and they're going to start training, they're going to be ready for that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of if they have the time to prepare, you know. That's my opinion.
Well, wrapping up, and one of the final questions we want to talk to you about is, how did you get your nickname? I've always wondered that.
No, it's Chinguinha.
Which nickname you call?
Chinguinha.
Oh, okay.
So Chinguinha, it's a famous professional surf guy in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And he has this nickname. I don't know why they call him Chinguinha. So, you know, we're from Rio de Janeiro, Barra da Tijuca. So we're very close to the beach. So pretty much, especially people in Barra.
He surfed well too, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, man, the guy's professional surfer. Kind of look like him.
I look just
know?
Like the guy. You look like Chinguinha. This is Chinguinha, like quite trained.
Yeah.
Then everybody calls me Chinguinha. So Chinguinha is a professional surf guy in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And and it looks just like him. That's it. And his nickname is Chinguinha. I don't know why they call him
Chinguinha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it mean anything?
I don't know.
No, doesn't mean anything.
Maybe for his family or something. Okay. I don't know. But then I call him Chinguinha. That's it.
Yeah. you surf now, though?
I'm still surfing.
Okay.
But funny thing, you know, when I moved to America, Chinguinha is real hard for people to pronounce it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people call me Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
Then I have to stop and say, man, no, not Tijuana.
I'll let you get away with some, but not that.
That's amazing.
Well, Chinguinha, it was a great seminar, and thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
And Gustavo, as always, thank you.
Thanks, my brother. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So thank you, and safe trip back to California, and we'll look forward to it next year.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.